If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
On this episode of Newt's World, we are experiencing the highest inflation in 40 years, and the Federal Reserve continues to raise interest rates to help curb the rise of inflation, which leads to uncertainty in the stock market. Americans' household budgets are feeling the impact. The food index alone has risen over 11.4% over the last year, which means we're all paying more for groceries to feed our families. Almost everyone I talk with wants to know why we are facing such a challenging economic situation and how they can protect their own finances and investments. It's a very personal question in a very difficult time. So I want to talk with somebody who has been advising people on their personal finances and investments for over 25 years, which is why I'm really pleased to welcome back my guest, Charles Thorngren, the CEO of Legacy Precious Metals. Charles, thank you for joining me again on Newt's World.
Always my pleasure. Thank you for having us back, Newt. We appreciate it.
You know, I thought we would start with something you and I have chatted about earlier, and that is the state of the current economy and maybe some parallels back to the 1970s. When I mentioned in my introduction that the food index has risen 11.4% over the past year, according to the latest consumer price index figures, which is the largest 12-month jump since May 1979. So there is some reason to talk in terms of this 40-year change. But the food at home index, and this kind of surprised me, it's actually gone up faster than restaurants. The food at home index, a measure of price change at the grocery store, increased 13.5%, which is also a 43-year high. I looked at some of the numbers, and Calista and I were just actually shopping Sunday afternoon at the grocery store. And some of these things just leap out at you. Eggs are up 39.8%. Butter is up 24.6%. Hot dogs are up 18%. Luncheon meats are up 18%. Frozen and fresh chicken parts are up 17, almost 18%. Fresh milk other than whole milk is up 17.7%. Flour, prepared for flour mixes, is up 23%. Roast coffee is up almost 19%. Cereal is up over 17%. We were looking at a box of Cheerios, which I think is almost $7 a box now, and the boxes are getting smaller. White bread was up 18%. Sugar and sugar substitutes, 16%. rice, pasta, cornmeal, almost 16, and peanut butter, 15.2%. Now, that is in people's pocketbooks. That's in their personal lives. That forces changes of behavior. You know, you've been studying this a long time. What is your take on what's happening in terms of the consumer price index?
Great question. And, you know, like you were saying, that list is incredible because this is the stuff we do every day. We eat every day, right? That's the ultimate goal, is to eat three times a day. And this is where inflation hurts us the worst. The list we just went through there, this is the healthy food that people need to feed their children so that they don't have to go through fast food restaurants and feed them on the dollar menu. When you're dealing with fresh foods, you help avoid the problems with obesity that we have here in America as well. So this is more than just a dollar issue. This is also a health issue for America. And when we look at it from the economic side, the importance of this is what we do every day. We eat every day. We feed our families every day. This has the biggest effect. The other thing that has the effect after that is the gasoline prices. And when we look at inflation and we look at the CPI, you hear numbers where they talk about this and they remove this and gasoline. The two most important things that you need to consider in your daily budget are removed from that CPI number. So when we see that CPI number, know that it looks horrible, but it's actually worse because it excludes these two particular items that are important. So when we say, you know, here we have the CPI number just coming in a little over 8.3%. Here's the importance of that small percentage raise. But more importantly, this is after the extreme inflation fighting parameters that the Fed has tried to put on this economy, right? We've had a very extreme response to this inflation. Now, I look at it and I say, this is the Fed asleep at the wheel. They didn't pay attention to the problem that was coming, and they are slow to react. But this kind of increase and a CPI number of 8.3, it's horrendous. The more it costs us as consumers, theoretically, the less we're going to go out and spend. But it's costing us in the areas where we have no choice but to spend. That's the difficulty. And that's why this inflation is far worse than anything we've seen until we go back into the 70s and that decade. This is how that correlates. And this is the scenario that we find ourselves in, unfortunately.
You know, it's interesting to me. Somebody pointed out yesterday that to put 8% inflation in context, that is the equivalent of losing 1 month's salary a year.
Correct.
Now, when you put it that way and you say to people, so how bad off would you be if you lost 1 month of your salary every year? They begin to realize this thing is going to hit home in a very real way. And some of it is amazing. People don't realize, I think, that when natural gas goes up 33% over the last 12 months, that translates directly into electricity. Electricity went up 16%. And there is now something like 20 million families that are behind on paying for their electric bill. But in addition, I think this has a long-term erosion of your savings. And I think it particularly hits two groups. I want to get your take on this. One is soon-to-be senior citizens who've been saving their whole life. They had a path. They thought they had enough money. Now they're suddenly watching that erode every single day. And the other is the very poor, who are particularly hit by gasoline and food. And those two groups, it seems to me, are really being hammered by this current cycle with inflation. But, I mean, what's your take? You talk to people out here, and I know you do this all the time. If they're really heavy into their 401k in a traditional way, they're taking a real bath right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, the big dilemma is that you've worked your entire life, you're ready to retire, and now you can't. Not only do we have massive inflation, but you've also seen a decrease in your actual retirement account. It is the double whammy, and it's very reminiscent of what happened in 2008. You know, in 2008, when we had a similar scenario, those were the people who had it the worst, those looking to retire. And it was very difficult conversations that we had at the time to say, I understand that you've worked your entire life and you put off instant gratification to fund that retirement account so that you could have the retirement life that you wanted. And that's been taken away. And we're looking at that same scenario now. And unfortunately, this is just the beginning. we're going to see further decline. But the good news is, if you're in that retirement bracket and you're getting ready to retire, there are steps you can take. You know, get diversified and get protection now before we see continued devaluation of not just the dollar, but of that retirement account that you have. There are means to protect it. And that's the important thing to know. As we go through this, a lot of people don't necessarily like to talk about finances. It can be a little fearful, right? Not knowing the future. The great thing is that we have a plan. We can show you how to protect yourself, so we can remove the fear and get you ready so that you can have that retirement that you want. So as we go through these numbers, if you find yourself saying, I don't even want to hear this, the good news is there's hope. There's an answer. That's the great news. Okay. So it's worth hearing and being prepared. As for the poor sector, to me, this is a very troubling thing. We as a nation, we are very generous. Most people like to help their neighbors. Most people are considerate of those who are less fortunate. We find ourselves in a situation where we have an economic situation that's going to create even more hardship on those who are having a tough time now. And the past few years have not been pleasant, right? We've had a pandemic. We've had massive debt for a nation. And to me, the troublesome thing is we have an administration that say they care about those who are less fortunate. Yet every action they take harms them even more, puts them in more harm's way than where they were just a few years ago. And to me, I see that glaring inequity and say, how do they keep promoting themselves to be the party of the people when I know that me and my fellow people are out there helping as much as we can? I guess that's the political spin in the world out there today. That's more of your field, Newt. You know that more than I do. But I do know the economics of it is more trouble, right? But it also more dependency now on the government to help them through this financial tornado that we're going to be going through, which is the opposite of building a strong America. It's building dependence, and that's not what we want. People want strength. They want to be able to provide for themselves. People look for opportunities, not handouts, the majority of the time. So that puts us in that unique scenario where we see more and more people who will need to rely on the government, which is dangerous.
You know, President Reagan used to say that a job was the best social program because it had both financial and psychological implications that were really important to getting people back to being independent, to having a chance that their future would be better, to teaching them the skills necessary to be successful in a work economy. I think when you look at what the Federal Reserve, their entire strategy is going to be a demand-side strategy of trying to crush the economy so that inflation stops because there's no demand. This is exactly the fight I was in the middle of. I was a very junior congressman in 1978, 79, 80, and I worked with President Reagan. I worked with Jack Kemp and with Art Laffer in developing supply-side economics. And our argument was, you want to increase the total volume of goods and services, and they'll mop up the money. But you want to do it by putting more people to work, creating more goods and services, not by raising interest rates to crush the economy. And I think we're going to see people out here who have a double whammy in that their savings are declining and their job may be declining. And so they've got to be thinking about protecting themselves on both fronts. How can they acquire enough resources that are resistant to inflation, that they're in a position to not have their lives ruined by really bad government policies? And I think that's something I know you spent years studying and thinking about very deeply.
So very true. And the interesting thing, I was reading a report just a couple of days ago. During the pandemic and leading up to the pandemic, Americans had acquired on average 18% of their yearly income was in their savings. They had savings built up. The recent number is now we're down to about 5%. That is the effects of not just this administration, granted, but a pandemic as well. But these are the numbers that the Fed likes to see. They like to see money out there in circulation so that their controls work, so they can try to stem things on a demand side by playing with the interest rate, which is the worst possible scenario. You create so much havoc when you play with the interest rate too much. And supply side, We know it works. We've seen it. Thank you for that, Newt. It was something that really made America truly strong again. You know, it helped us fight a Cold War, that kind of a strength. There's such a strength and a protection in being economically stable that most people don't see. And we're not seeing it now. We see now the Fed saying increased interest rates. We're going to go up again. The general thought was 0.75 points. But if you read and you see Wall Street saying, hey, let's do 1 full point, that's astronomical. That is no way to run any kind of an economy. You have to have forethought. You don't want big shocks. You want slow, gradual control. But we don't have that. And that's going to do an amazing thing. We talk about the unemployment. The whole goal is at some point to create unemployment. That's how you're going to stop demand, which is the exact opposite of supply. Like you said, make the supply controllable. People have jobs. People control demand, and it takes care of itself. The demand side, you have to put people out of work so they don't spend, so you control the economy. And when you think about it from that point of view, it's just ridiculous to take away something as important as a job from somebody. You know, like you said, not just the economics, but the mental well-being, the sense of purpose. And we're going to see that. We're going to see unemployment rise. I know we have companies out there talking about layoffs already. And it hasn't happened yet, but it's yet to come. And that's the scary thing, because you get to a point where you got to start saying, okay, Chairman Powell has said, expect long-term inflation. Now, there's another word for that. That's called recession. And if it gets out of control, it's called stagflation, which is even worse. You know, the terms to meet stagflation are not that significant from recession. All we need to do to step into the world of stagflation right now is we have to have unemployment go up to about 5%. We're not that far off. We're at 3.7 right now. The consumer price index, if it's above 5, that's a ripe scenario for stagflation. And then we have to have a decreasing GDP, which we have. We have a full recession already. As soon as that unemployment goes up, we slip into stagflation, which is much harder to fight than a recession.
If you've been keeping up with the news lately, you know that we're living in challenging economic times. Americans are suffering from supply chain problems, soaring grocery prices, and high inflation. All this economic turmoil means increased volatility in the stock market, which can impact your retirement investments. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I use when investing in gold and gold IRAs. A gold IRA has the same tax advantage of a traditional IRA while giving you protection by owning physical gold. Legacy Precious Metals believes that your financial security should never be left to chance. Learn how to protect your wealth and secure your financial future with gold. Whether it becomes part of your retirement account or the physical metals are shipped to you, Legacy can advise you on how to invest. Give their experts a call today at 866-484-4043. That's 866-484-4043. Or download their comprehensive gold guide at buylegacygold.com. Visit buylegacygold.com. When Reagan was running, they took the inflation rate and the unemployment rate, and they added them together and called them the misery index. Reagan used to have this phrase. He would say, you know, when your brother loses his job, it's called a recession. When you lose your job, it's called a depression. When Jimmy Carter loses his job, it's called a recovery.
Love that quote.
And, well, he was very good at getting his point across with humor rather than anger. But the point I want to make is we're seeing the early indicators. You know, Warner Brothers Discovery laid off 100 employees the other day. And they pledged in their merger between Discovery and Warner Media to cut $3 billion in savings. Snap, the owner of Snapchat, said they're going to lay off 20% of their employees. That's about 1,300 people. Ford announced in late August that it plans to lay off 2,000 salaried workers and 1,000 contract workers, with the largest percentage coming from Michigan. 7-Eleven laid off 880 employees in Ohio and Texas, and Peloton laid off 4,150 people from Taiwan, Texas, and Arizona, and totally closed down both the Plano, Texas, and Tempe, Arizona offices. So you're beginning to see these steps towards people hunkering down. As you point out, when the Fed raises interest rates, you know, the largest single source of savings for the middle class is their homes. When the Fed starts going up by a full percentage point, that changes the cost of mortgages so dramatically that it drives down the price of homes, because the two sort of have a countervailing factor. When mortgages are cheap, homes get more expensive. And when mortgages are expensive, homes get cheaper. And I know you know all that, but doesn't that also raise the issue that people need to have saving instruments beyond their home?
Absolutely. You know, that is the modern wonder to me, is how someone's home has become their retirement plan. My home is my house. That's where my wife and I sleep. That's where we have dinner together. My children come to visit us there. That's my home. It was never meant to be my retirement plan. That was to be my place of solitude. Unfortunately, as homes have become more expensive, they've had to turn into people's retirement plan. The ability to pay for mortgages and save sufficiently enough for some people became difficult. So that's where their home fell into that retirement plan. I think the big dilemma there is that you don't have control of your retirement if it's your home. You need to be able to say, hey, I'm going to retire now, but I don't necessarily want to leave my home. I shouldn't have to go to an apartment in my golden years because my retirement plan didn't work out. This is why retirement plans in and of themselves are important. But also, for those who have that home and they want to downsize, they'd like to get value out of it. There was a time where owning a home was the key to a long-term growth scenario for wealth for you. You bought a home, you held it, you paid your mortgage, you know, 30 years, you became free of it. It continued to go up and there was value. But we've seen that change. We've seen some housing bubbles where houses have come down 25-30%. And that's a difficulty that's hard to prepare for, especially if you're using your home in a way to create equity. You know, whether you have a loan on that house, whether you're using a reverse mortgage if you're in those retirement years. These are all things that, you know, really get thrown into whack when you have a scenario where interest rates are, you know, 6.3% now for a home mortgage. It really changes the dynamic because, like you said, that drives down the value of that house. And now you suddenly have lost value for something that you shouldn't have lost value for. That home didn't change. The desire for a house hasn't changed. There's still a housing shortage.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my sense is when you get those kind of increases in mortgage interest rates, you actually shrink the potential market of buyers because a whole range of people suddenly find out they can't afford to carry a 15 or 30-year mortgage at that kind of an interest rate. So there are fewer people looking for homes, which is another downward pricing pressure.
Correct. And that's exactly what we're seeing. New housing starts show you that as well. The majority of new housing starts right now are for multifamily. So it's rental units, it's apartments. That's what's being built right now. Builders know what's going on in the economy. And when you see something like that happening to Liberty, they know that there's an inventory that they won't be able to get rid of. And you'll see some of the ads where some of these builders are saying, I'm going to offset that interest rate for you. I'm going to lock you in at 5% rather than 6.3%. It's done in how they carry the loan across and how they price out the home. But even at 5%, that is not cheap. We're coming out of a period of time where it was significantly cheaper to own a home. So when you hear that, you know that there's problems to come. And we've just started. That's the scary part. We know that there'll be at least 1 to 2 more raises this year, with several next year to follow. We've already been told that by the Federal Reserve. The chairman has said, expect this, expect longer interest rate raises. So for a longer period of time, those who would try to
finagle the system and get in with an ARM loan where they're adjusting regularly, it's not going to benefit them. We're going to be high for a longer period of time. This is going to make that home ownership less of a reality for many, many people.
Well, I know in some places like Australia, adjustable rate mortgages became a nightmare because all of a sudden the rates went up dramatically. They usually have like a 3 or 5 year recalculation. And suddenly all these people found that what seemed like a reasonable rate yesterday morning was now an unsustainable rate. And I think in Australia, it became a real crisis.
That is true. And it happened here too in the last housing crisis as well. Not as bad as it was in Australia. But there were many people who were making their payments. Their life didn't change. It's just the interest rate that changed. And now they suddenly got priced out of their own home that they owned. It's a nightmare, right? And that led to a glut of houses that banks owned.
So to shift for a minute from housing, which is a big part of the economy, bigger than people realize, there's also been a startling reaction on the market. I remember the day they came out and the inflation rate had gone higher than expected, which is the day that Biden had the White House celebration of lower inflation rates, which was a sign that his chief of staff hadn't done his homework very well. But, I mean, the stock market was just diving. It was amazing how fast it was falling. What's your sense, looking out over the next 2 or 3 years, one, of the inflation rate, and two, of what that will then do to people whose primary investment is in stock?
Great question. You know, interest rates at these levels, definitely a problem. But uncontrolled inflation, even worse. Because as we fight it, we're going to keep raising interest rates. That's what the Fed knows to do. This is going to cause a severe correction in the equities market. It's already caused one now. It's caused one in the bond market as well. Most people don't talk about that, but there's some severe issues there. What you're going to see in equities is a strong downward move. Each time they come out and each time there's a disappointment in the numbers. And here's what we do know. This Fed is in a balancing act. They don't want to come out and give us bad news. They'd rather surprise us with it. So we have these shocks that happen, and they're going to happen more frequently. We will see people, you know, it's not uncommon to hear whispered around the circles of finance, expect to see 30 to 35% further decline in your equities accounts. And that's troubling.
If you're right on the edge of retirement, and that happened to your 401k, for example, that would totally change all of your planning for your retirement.
Absolutely. You'd have to make decisions that you never were prepared to make. That's the problem. You can't plan for something like that because in every forecast, and any financial advisor who deals with equities is going to paint you this picture. And they're going to say, this is what's going to happen. You're going to save over time. Then you're going to buy the sailboat and you're going to go and play golf every day. And you're going to go ride motorcycles in your retirement, all of these things. And it's a pretty picture, but it's not based on reality. There's a deficit to that calculation. And that's the purchasing power of the dollar. And we have an economy now that is devaluating the dollar and its purchasing power. And also on top of that, this current economic situation is going to affect the principal of your retirement account as well. As those equities come down, you're going to find it even harder. You're going to have less money in that account, and it's going to buy less on top of it. It puts people in a very bad position. It's going to change people's retirement plans. And that's a sad thing for me. For those people who have done what they should, they've saved, they created a plan, now they're ready to retire, they can't. That's devastating. It also changes the market, right? If you don't have people who can retire, the person who's waiting in line to take that job, they don't get to move up. It's an entire scale that affects the economy.
I think that's right. And I was just going to comment, you mentioned the long-term shrinking of the dollar as a purchasing power, which is really what inflation leads to. We go to a really interesting restaurant that was founded in 1954, and they have on the wall their menu from 1954. And in their lunch menu, the tuna fish sandwich was 15 cents. You look at what that would cost you today, and you have a pretty good sense of the devaluation of the dollar over the last 60 or 70 years, and that continues. And in that context, What's the comparative pattern of gold and the stock market in a time of inflation?
Great question. Back to that tuna fish sandwich at 15 cents. You can't even get cheese on your cheeseburger for that 15 cents now, Newt. So a comparison, you know, when you look at gold, gold is an investment that is almost counter to the dollar. It is your hedge against the dollar. It's the hedge against inflation. It's the hedge against the loss of purchasing power. Because ultimately, what changes is not the value of your gold or your silver. What changes is the amount of dollars it takes to purchase it. Look at it like that tuna fish sandwich. That tuna fish sandwich was 15 cents. Today, you're probably, depending on the restaurant, $12, $13 for that sandwich. Just like gold, it's the same thing. What's changed is not the value of that tuna.
You made me realize we could create a tuna fish sandwich index.
We should.
I think somebody did actually create a Big Mac index. And they said one time in the Carter years, I always knew that when I got to be a millionaire, that would be the price of one Big Mac.
And that describes it all.
If you've been keeping up with the news lately, you know that we're living in challenging economic times. Americans are suffering from supply chain problems, soaring grocery prices, and high inflation. All this economic turmoil means increased volatility in the stock market, which can impact your retirement investments. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I use when investing in gold and gold IRAs. A gold IRA has the same tax advantage of a traditional IRA while giving you protection by owning physical gold. Legacy Precious Metals believes that your financial security should never be left to chance. Learn how to protect your wealth and secure your financial future with gold. Whether it becomes part of your retirement account or the physical metals are shipped to you, Legacy can advise you on how to invest. Give their experts a call today at 866-484-4043. That's 866-484-4043. Or download their comprehensive gold guide at buylegacygold.com. Visit buylegacygold.com. But gold has actually had a pretty good run compared to what's been happening in the stock market, hasn't it?
It's done well. But here's the thing. Even gold has been suppressed. And if you've read the news, you know there's been several big banks out there who have recently had to settle against claims about manipulating the spot price of metals. So we know that that happens. But we also know this. It can only be suppressed for so long. So where we're at now with us, you know, looking at gold, just a touch under $1,700 an ounce, we know we should see valuations based historically, based on inflation and dollar valuations. We should be much closer to the $2,500 an ounce. That would be a comfortable place for us to be sitting. And we'll get there. But when we get there, we'll still have driving factors because we will have this long-term recession going on, this possible stagflation event. So how that works really is that long-term pressure and the Fed's desire to always have some form of inflation creates value for your metals. They're always going to go up in value. And the great thing about metals, it's not like an equity. You don't have to pick the right one. If you have gold, it's going to go up in value. If you have silver, it's going to go up in value. It counters the dollar in that aspect. That's what makes it so great for people who want to put their money away and don't have the time to focus on elaborate strategies to trade a market or to determine if it's the right CEO in charge of the company. You know, I've often had conversation with clients. There was a little company that dealt in energy, and you know, energy has never gone out of business, and energy is a great way to, for a company to be profitable. And this company was doing great for a minute, and then they went bankrupt. How does energy go bankrupt? Well, the name of the company was Enron, and they were on fire until the day they realized the company was being run wrong. So energy didn't go out of business. Enron did. And that's the way I look at gold. Gold's not going to go out of business. Any stock can go out of business if it's run bad, regardless of how good the principles behind it are. So we avoid having to put ourselves in that position of having to know everything about our investment. We can say, based on the parameters of history, based on what we know to be true, inflation will be here, whether it's large or small, and it will continuously erode my purchasing power. My investment in the metals will be there to buffet that. That's the great thing about it.
Okay, but now let's say you're brand new to all this, and you're sitting here, and you're wavering between gold and silver. How do you weigh the two? What's your advice in thinking about the two metals?
And that's a great question. We get asked that a lot. We say gold, and we kind of mean all the precious metals. But gold and silver specifically, they are currencies. They've been currencies for thousands of years now. Gold is the investment for larger dollar amounts. It has a little bit more stability than silver does. Silver has more volatility, but it also has more uses. Silver gets used in a lot of mechanical applications. So you tend to see bigger runs when it moves up, and you'll see, you know, bigger falls when it pulls back a little bit. So there's more volatility in it. So the way I look at it is, if you're looking to retire and your retirement's, you know, more than 5 years out, have a little of both. There's no need to pick one over the other. That's the great news, is we can take your investment and we can look at it and say, here's some great percentages for you to think about, and here's why we like them. You know, we have some volatility coming. We know that. We know that silver is important right now because everyone's pushing solar and things of that nature, and a lot of silver gets used. So it makes the case to have some of it in your portfolio. So let's do a portion of gold and a portion of silver. We have the ability to do that.
So you always recommend some kind of balanced investment between the two?
Absolutely. Depending on the particular client's needs, right? If someone's ready to retire and they're very risk adverse, we're going to be heavier in gold. If someone's a little younger and they're looking for maybe some increased returns, we're probably going to go a little higher in silver, but we're going to find that balance. That's what we do. We spend the time talking with people so that we know what they need. We have access to everything in the market. So we have no particular need to push something over another.
Because you're dealing with literally hard metals, how do you balance between having it stored in your IRA as a financial instrument or actually taking it in currency and storing it, say, in a safe at home?
Great question. And that really depends on each individual client. Some clients do both. Some people want their protection in their retirement account. They don't want it left to just the options that their current broker gives them. They'd like to diversify part of it. That makes sense. Some people want it on hand, and that makes sense too. You know, if you have funds in an IRA, it makes sense to try to diversify some of it there to get that protection. If you have cash, liquid cash in an account or in a trading account that you're not using, you can use that to purchase metals too. You can store it at home. You can store it at a bank if you'd like, you know, safe deposit box. We also offer storage. So there's many options available. We'll find something that you're comfortable with. Some people don't want it at home. They don't feel comfortable, and I get that. Other people don't want it anywhere else but at home. And I understand that as well.
You triggered something a minute ago when you talked about precious metals. And you and I have never discussed this, so this may be a little off the wall. But with the extraordinary increase in the importance of lithium in electric cars and in batteries in general, do you think there will ever be sort of a lithium market the way that there's a gold and silver market?
There is a lithium market, but it's not going to be the same thing. Lithium is the metal of the moment. Gold and silver are currencies, whereas lithium is just a manufacturing metal. At one point, copper was the lithium of the world, right? And lithium is important until the next battery comes that doesn't require lithium. That's the great thing about technology. It's always evolving. And that's the great thing about gold and silver. They've always been considered currency. While they have mechanical applications, that is their side job. Their main job is being a currency.
Okay. That's very helpful to me. It just hit me because I've been reading a lot about lithium and the Chinese and worldwide mining. But the other point you make, in places like India, for example, gold actually is often stored as jewelry and literally as sort of wearable savings, if you will. I think copper at one time in some societies was actually worn. But I think your key point here is that gold and silver, and I guess to some extent platinum, have all been precious metals, with, of course, gold being the dominant, literally going back, I think, as far as we know, into thousands of years before in prehistory. somehow gold has always kind of attracted human beings.
That's true. You can go anywhere in the world and show somebody a piece of gold. Even if you don't speak the same language, everyone knows what that is. It is known. Everyone knows that's gold and that's silver. It's been a currency for that long.
Where your advice, because you've looked at this for so many years, you've advised so many people. You know, if you're a young person right now and you're trying to pay for gasoline and you're trying to pay for groceries, you kind of feel like you don't have a whole lot of spare money. What's your advice to them about how early they should start investing towards their retirement and towards just sort of long-term savings?
Great question. And my answer is going to be, you're already late. You should have started already. The key to investing is time. And it doesn't have to be the substantial amount of money every time you do it. The best thing to do is to get yourself in a routine. If you don't have a lot of money, buy some silver. It's affordable. Avoid a Starbucks every now and then. You almost got enough for some silver. Okay. But the key thing is to start. That's the thing, right? The thing to creating wealth that most people fail to realize, it's not instantaneous. It comes with sacrifice. And sometimes you got to lose the Starbucks so you can become wealthy. It's worth it. Trust me.
You remind me, there's a wonderful book by Ogilvy, who was the great advertising genius of the 1950s, called Confessions of an Advertising Man. And when he was very young, he took a cruise to Alaska and was standing next to this much older guy who said, "Son, if you can follow my advice, you'll be a millionaire before 50. And he said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Spend 10% less than you earn and invest it. And it is almost impossible to avoid becoming a millionaire, but it's very boring." And Ogilvy thought, said in later years, the advice was absolutely right, but you had to have the discipline to live slightly below your income, not slightly above it. And that's what a lot of people found difficult. I've never forgotten that. And you're sort of making the same point that, as you put it, you know, one less Starbucks a week could in fact be the beginning of a real savings account.
It's true.
That's just great. Listen, I want to thank you for joining me and for helping me, and I hope our listeners, make some sense of the current economic environment and how we can save for our own futures while dealing with inflation at 40-year highs and a Federal Reserve, which is going to punish us into obedience if it can. And I want our listeners to know, if they want more information, they can go directly to buylegacygold.com/newt. That's buylegacygold.com/newt, and find out more and get a free investment guide. And as usual, you've been fascinating and the depth of your knowledge is remarkable. I just want to thank you on behalf of all of our listeners for taking the time to walk us through this. And I look forward, as the economy evolves, to continuing to have these kind of conversations.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having us on. I think what we do is important. You know, if we can help a handful of people, we've done our job, but we do more than that. Your listeners have always really taken to heart what we say and what we talk about, and we see that. It's always worth the time, and thank you for letting us do our part to help in a recovery for America. It matters. Thank you, Newt.
Thank you to my guest, Charles Thorngren. You can learn more about legacy precious metals at buylegacygold.com/Newt. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Garnsey Sloan. Our producer is Rebecca Howell. And our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of Newt's World can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World. This episode of Newt's World was brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.